Welcome to the Miracle Camp podcast, and thanks for checking out this recording from summer camp. Please enjoy listening to our speaker from this week.
All right. Well, good evening. I hope you had an absolutely amazing day today. Did you have an absolutely amazing day today? I think everybody said yes. I was listening for that no. I didn't hear it. Well, oh, there it is. All right, great. Hey, remember I talked about fishing the other day? I caught something today. It was a snapping turtle. I had to cut my line because I couldn't get it out and I didn't want to get bit. So if you see a snapping turtle running around with a hook in its foot, tell it to return my bait. I want it back. All right? That's important to me. First snapping turtle I ever caught. Well, so I live in a small little county. Okay, I used to live. I grew up in a small little county. All right? And in that county, the county fair was the biggest event that ever occurred. All right? And it wasn't Fulton County. I know there's some Fulton County people. That's not the fair I'm talking about. It was the Henry County Fair. You don't know what that is. All right. Henry. Yeah, all right. This is perfect. This is what I want. All right. So we had this thing called, what was it called? I just lost it. No, I think it was Rose. No, it couldn't have been Rose. Anyway, we had a pageant as part of the festivities of the fair. You know those pageant things where girls walk around and they're like, hey. All right, now, this was a really, really big deal. It still is in Henry County, okay? It's like the entire year, everybody is waiting to see what happens. And this is the most, all right, these girls are competing for scholarships, and I get that. That's cool. But they always ask them questions and rate their answers. Like, do you get a 10, a 9, an 8? And one of the questions that comes up all the time in pageants is the question, if you had one wish, what would you wish for? And you know what they all say? Thank you. Yes, it's world peace. No, it's not world domination. Yeah, that'll get you a 1. That'll get you a 1 out of 10. Although that would actually make the thing really funny if someone said, I just want world domination. I want to own everything. All the tanks and nuclear warheads. All right. Now, why is that such a popular answer? Why is that such a popular answer? Have you ever thought of that? Because it's a cruel world. That's good. It's a popular answer. Yeah, I'm hearing lots of really good stuff. I think, personally, that there's something inside of every single one of us that wants peace. We just want peace. We want the fighting to stop. We want the bickering to go away. We're just tired of the constant war that keeps going on between the Henry County Fair and the Fulton County Fair. I know. They just want to fight They just want to stop all the fighting. Why can't Ohio State fans and Michigan fans just get along? And a lot of you are like, I'm from Illinois and Indiana. Your football teams don't matter. Your football teams don't matter. All right. They just give W's, all right, to whoever they're playing. Sorry. Why can't we just get along, right? Why do I have to make fun of your football teams? But you know what? In all seriousness, though, like, that can be kind of humorous, because there are some humorous things that cause tension. But wouldn't it be great if, like, Ukraine and Russia just, like, stopped? Okay. Wouldn't it be great? No, seriously. Wouldn't it be great in the United States if Republicans and Democrats weren't so nasty to each other all the time? No, seriously. Here's the crazy part. A lot of you in middle school already have opinions about that, and you've never actually studied the politics. That's how divisive it is. That's how divisive these things are. So part of what I do right now, I have a point here. All right? I'm not just trying to wreak havoc here. I have a point. Part of what got me interested in what I do for a living right now is just bringing together two people who have a history of not getting along. All right, so part of what I do is I work with people who are from an Arab background. All right, that's people from the Middle East who immigrated from their place because of war, because of terrorism against them, right? And they just wanted to go and they wanted to search for peace, because peace is such an important part of our hearts. It's what we long for. It's what we desire. All right, we need peace. We need peace. And there's not a lot of it going on. The question is, how do we actually achieve peace? The longer you grow up, the longer you live, the more answers you're going to hear. And a lot of them haven't worked. And they probably won't work, with the exception of one. And what I want to talk about tonight is the actual solution to peace between people. The actual solution to peace between people. So if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to go to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. So as you're flipping, I'm going to give you some of the history here between what's going on and why Ephesians, why Romans, why Galatians were all written. You see, in the year 2000, excuse me, in the year 1000 or zero, that's what I want, in the year zero, all right, I just had to work backwards in my internal clock there. In the eyes of the Jewish people, there were only two groups of people in the world. There were Jews and there were everybody else. And everybody else had the name Gentile. All right? They did not get along. They did not get along. All right? In fact, there was a group called the Zealots around that time. And they were people who were going to do things militarily to try to get separation from the Gentiles so they could have their own way over here. There was also a group of Pharisees and Sadducees who were trying to manipulate the rest of the world so that they could live apart from one another. They did not get along at all. All right, just think of two different groups of people who just don't get along. This is these people. They're opposed to each other, and they did awful things to one another. But then something happens. Jesus came in, and a lot of the Jews started turning to Jesus. And then a lot of the Gentiles started turning to Jesus. And so now you have this new group of people, some Jews, some Gentiles, and Jesus is trying to get these people to come together, but there's friction, there's infighting, there's anger. The Jews say, you have to do it this way. And the Gentiles are like, I've never done it this way. How am I supposed to do it that way? And they just fought and fought and fought. You can't have two more opposite groups of people trying to live as one. And so a lot of the letters in your New Testament are dealing with this constant battle that's going on within the church. And Paul keeps writing and saying, this is how you attain peace. This is how you attain peace. So if you have your Bibles, Ephesians 2, we're going to look at 11 through 22. It starts like this. Therefore. Okay, we got to stop. What do you do when you see a therefore? You got to go and see what it's there for. This is Bible reading 101. All right, so if you go to a verse and the very first word in that verse is therefore, you got to go back. All right, you got to go back. So we're going to go back. I know I said we're going to start in 11, but we got to go back. So look at verse 8. Verse 8. This is what it says. For it is by grace you have been saved. For it is by grace you have been saved. And so Jesus looks at the Jews and he says, it is a gift that you are saved. You did not earn your salvation. This is a gift from me to you. The Jewish law didn't earn your salvation. Your good behavior didn't earn your salvation. The fact that you are children of Abraham did not earn your salvation. And then he comes over here and he talks to the Gentiles. He goes, Gentiles, it is by grace that you have been saved. Gentiles, it is not a work of your own. You haven't done anything to earn your salvation. It is all because I want to give it to you that you have salvation. In other words, he's giving the same answer to both groups of people. Paul continues, and it's through faith, which is receiving the gift of salvation. And this is not from yourselves. Even faith is a gift of God. The opportunity to even respond to the gospel is a gift from Jesus Christ. For both Jews and for Gentiles. For both Republicans and Democrats. He continues there, it's not by works so that no one can boast. You see, works come after the fact. That's why it says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. The works come afterwards. You guys are in the same boat. None of you have earned your salvation. Neither of you are good enough to earn your salvation. It's a gift. You're not better than them, and you're not better than them. This is what I love about the gospel of Jesus. It puts everybody on the same level. It puts everybody on the same level. So I, again, work with people from an Arab background. And I say, are you a believer because you were born in America? No. Are you a believer because you were born in the Middle East? No. Which one of us is better? Neither. We're on the same playing level. It doesn't matter where you grew up. It doesn't matter what language you learned from. It doesn't matter whether you grew up as a Muslim or your parents were Christian. All of us earn salvation the same way. We don't. It is only through the gift of Jesus Christ that any of us can come and have fellowship with Jesus. This is good news, friends. Because if we're looking for peace, we need to start in a foundation that puts everybody on the same level, regardless of who you are, what background you come from. That's really important. And so when he says, Paul writes, therefore, in Ephesians 2:11, that's what he's referencing. He says, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles, so he's talking specifically to Gentiles, by birth and called uncircumcised, which is not part of Israel, by those who call themselves circumcised, which is Israel, which is done in the body by human hands. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenant of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, this is who you are now. In Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Gentiles, the blood of Christ is what brought you into faith. Now Paul turns his attention to the other side. Verse 14, for he himself is our peace. Who is he? Who is the he in this passage? Jesus is our peace. Jesus is our peace, who has made the two groups, Jews and Gentiles, one. And has destroyed, I love that, has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with his commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace. And in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who are far away and peace to those who are near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. And so Jesus, one person, takes two groups of people who are diabolically opposed to one another, breaks them down, and makes them one person through the blood of Jesus Christ. World peace. How can there be world peace when people are so different? When people look at the world so differently? There's only one way, says the scriptures. It is through King Jesus. That's it. Only through the cross of Jesus Christ, only through his blood, can two groups be made into one. In verse 19, he begins with the word consequently. So this is the result. You are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. And so there's a really neat analogy that he puts here. He says, you apostles, the apostles brought the gospel to the Gentiles. The prophets, the word of God to the Jewish people. He says, you bring those two together and you start to build a house out of that. The foundation is Jesus Christ, the foundation to both. And then he calls it being built into a temple. What's unique about a temple? What makes a temple different than a house? It's where you worship. It's the presence of God. So God is becoming present to both groups of people, uniting two groups. There is so much beauty in the gospel. And Jesus alone is the one who can unite people. In your lives, the world, there's going to be arguments. You're going to see a lot of the same problems that have plagued this world since sin. You're going to see one nation rise up against another nation. You're going to see one people group with a different ethnic group than another, war. You're going to see friend groups battling out against other friend groups. You are going to have the answer as to how we can stop it. And that's a charge that God gives us. He gives us the charge to bring Jesus into the equation, to bring the gospel message, which says it's nothing about who you are or what you do. It's everything about who Jesus is and what he has done. And if we truly do that, we can look at the person next to us and say, Jesus died for that person. They come to Jesus the same way I come to Jesus. They may look differently, speak differently, live differently, but none of that matters in how we get to God. It has to go through King Jesus. It absolutely has to go through King Jesus. There's a beautiful picture of heaven I want to share with you. And this picture of heaven really has changed my life. Because I went from living in a little place called Napoleon, Ohio, where everybody was white. Everybody looked like me. If you wanted to stand out, you got a different haircut. Because that's the only difference you could find. There was no diversity. No different cultures, nothing. And then I read a passage like this. If you have, I think I put it up here, Revelation 7. In Revelation 7, 9, this is a picture of heaven. John, who is the author of this book, says, after this, I looked. And there before me was a great multitude that no one could count. Can you imagine being in a place where there are too many people to count? And there were people from every nation, from every tribe, from every people and language standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Did you get that picture of heaven? Peace. Unity. There's no warring. There are people with different languages all praising God. Can you imagine people singing to God and you can hear the different languages and yet there's no tension between them? They're all just focused on the person of Jesus and there is peace and there is unity like you have never experienced in your entire life. There are people of every nation, so you could see it, and there's colors of skin of so many different varieties. We're going to be the minority, which is hard to believe here in the United States. Jesus can do this. He is the solution. He is the King who unites people and doesn't divide them. Everything else divides. Only Jesus unites. And so I'm going to ask you the question that is the question of this week. Is a king like that worthy to be the king of your heart? Because you know what most kings do? They war with other kings. King Jesus, he brings people so different from each other together onto the same playing field and unites them as one family under God. Tonight's message may not apply to you right now, but you need to hear this now. Because there are going to be people who give you thousands of different answers about how to achieve this peace. And if they mention anything except for Jesus Christ, they're wrong. He's the answer, and he's calling us, every single one of us, to bring that peace to this world, to our community, that we would stand on Jesus Christ.
Thanks for listening to this chapel session and for diving into scripture with us. We hope you've been encouraged in your walk with Jesus, and we hope to see you here at camp for next year's summer camp. So, thanks again, and have a great rest of your day.